This week's CD is going to be on Parshas Vayeshev, and we are going to focus our shir on chapter 37, verse number 30. But before that, we are going to give a synopsis of what's happening in the Parsha. Yosef is 17 years old, and he brings evil reports of the brothers to the father. Nonetheless, the father loved Yosef more than all the brothers, and he made them ksoides pasim, a special tunic. The brothers, realizing that the father loves Yosef more than anyone else, hate Yosef and can't speak to him in peace. Yosef has dreams, and in his first dream, Yosef dreams that they are binding sheaves in the field, and his sheaf stood up, and the brothers' sheaves bowed down to him. The brothers get upset at this dream. Then Yosef has another dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars are bowing down to him. He tells his brothers and Yaakov Avinu, his father, about the dreams, and the brothers end up hating him more. Then the brothers decide to shepherd their father's sheep in Shechem. Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, please go to Shechem to see how your brothers are doing. Yosef accepts this even though he knows that the brothers hate him and he is risking his life. He goes to Shechem and he can't find his brothers. Somebody tells him that his brothers are in Dothan. Yosef goes to Dothan, and before he approaches his brothers, the brothers plot to kill him. Reuven tells his brothers, please do not kill him, just throw him in one of these pits. Then the Torah continues that they did that. They threw Yosef into the pit, and then they sat down to eat bread. They see a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilad and going to Egypt. Judah tells his brothers, what are we going to gain if you are going to kill our brother? Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And the Torah says that either the brothers actually sold Yosef to the Ishmaelites, or came other people who lifted Yosef from the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites. But nonetheless, clearly the brothers had the intention to sell Yosef to the Ishmaelite. Then on verse 29 it's written that Reuven comes back to the pit and Yosef is not in the pit, and Reuven tears his clothing. So Rashi asks a question, where was Reuven that he wasn't present at the sale? Rashi gives two answers. In his first answer, Rashi says that each brother had a rotation to serve his father, and it came the turn of Reuven to serve his father. Therefore, he wasn't present at the sale, and when he came back, he tore his clothing when he saw that Yosef wasn't at the pit. And the second answer of Rashi is that Reuven was busy with his sackcloth and fasting because he moved his father's bed. This is based on what is written in last week's Parsha, chapter 35, verse number 22, where the verse says, "Va'yibishkoim Yisrael b'eretz ahi," when Israel, Yaakov, was in that land, which means in Eretz Yisrael, "Va'yelech Reuven," Reuven went, "Va'yishkav es Bila, Pilegesh Aviv," and he lay with Bila, the concubine of his father. Literally, the Torah says that he lay with her, but the Talmud says that Chas v'Sholom, heaven forbid, that Reuven would do such a crime. Therefore, the Talmud says that Reuven took up his mother's honor, meaning that while Rachel was alive, Yaakov put his bed in the tent of Rachel because she was the main reason why he married, and he loved her more than anybody else. Once Rachel died, then Yaakov took his bed and put it in the tent of Bila, Rachel's maidservant. Then Reuven became insulted and he said that while my mother's sister was alive, she was the rival to my mother. And now that my mother's sister is dead, the maiden of my mother's sister is going to become a rival to my mother. Therefore, Reuven moved the bed of Yaakov from the tent of Bila to the tent of Leah. And since he prevented Yaakov that night from having relations with Bila, it's tantamount as you would have had relations with Bila. Therefore, the Torah says that he lay with Bila. So Reuven is busy doing tshuva, fasting, and repenting for him moving the bed of Yaakov. So he wasn't present at the sale. And then we're going to go into the next verse, which is going to be the focus of our shiur. The verse says, "Vayoshev el Echav," Reuven came back to his brothers, "Vayomar," and he said, "Hayeled einenu," the boy is not here, Vani ono anibo, and now where can I go? So Rashi explains that Reuven was worried, ono evrach mitzaroi shelaba. Where am I going to run from pain of my father? Meaning that Reuven was concerned that Yaakov is going to suffer tremendously by the loss of Yosef. Therefore, Reuven said, where am I going to run from his pain? How can I see his pain? Sefer Degel Machne Ephraim gives an interpretation based on the Sefer Galanti, where the Sefer Galanti explains that the Asoras Aruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs that eventually are going to die in the time of the Mishnah by the Romans in the period of the destruction of the temple, and in the liturgy that we read on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur, there it says that the emperor called the rabbis of the Jewish people and presented them a case, and the case was, what is the law if a Jew sells another Jew? And they all unanimously answered that he should be put to death, meaning when a Jew sells another Jew, his punishment is death. Then the emperor said, if that is true, where is your forefathers, the Shvatim, the tribes that sold Yosef, and they were not punished? And since you are the greatest rabbis in this time, you should be a replacement for them. Clearly, by law, the children should not be punished by the sin of the forefathers. But nonetheless, Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel asked the emperor that he should give them a time of 3 days and they will find out if it was decreed from heaven. And Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol pronounces Hashem's name and he goes up to heaven and he hears from behind the curtain that indeed it was decreed that they should die and through that they will be redeemed, meaning that this should be their ultimate sacrifice. Then the emperor proceeds and gives the order to kill all 10 martyrs, even though these 10 martyrs did not live all in the same generation. Nonetheless, the king's order to eventually kill the 10 great rabbis was because of this crime. And technically, we have a problem why the king decreed on 10 people. Because theoretically, there was not 10 people present at the sale of Yosef. Because Binyamin was not there. Yosef himself was sold. Then we can say that he should be punished for being sold. And Reuven wasn't there, as the verse says, that Reuven came back to the pit and he was not there. And Mefarshim explained that since Hashem joined in the Cherem, in the act of excommunication, for not telling Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is alive, because Yaakov Avinu had to suffer for 22 years of not seeing Yosef, since Yaakov Avinu did not see his father Yitzchak for 22 years, then by joining the brothers in not telling Yaakov about the sale of Yosef, in a way, Kaviyochel Hashem was complicit in the crime. Therefore, one of the Haruge Malchus was Kaviyochel in place of Hashem. Sefer Galanti says that, in fact, Reuven was not part of the 10 martyrs, but nonetheless, Reuven was guilty for throwing Yosef into the pit, even though his intentions were noble, but nonetheless, he caused Yosef to be in isolation. Therefore, as an atonement for Reuven's action, his descendant, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, had to be in isolation. Therefore, they ended up putting Rabbi Eliezer in Cherem in excommunication. The story of Rabbi Eliezer being in Cherem is in Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Tes Omed Beis, 59b, where there the Gemara brings a disagreement regarding the halacha between Rabbi Eliezer and the rabbis, where we have a sectional oven that became impure. And normally, when the oven becomes impure and you break the oven becomes pure again, because the tumah goes away since the vessel is not complete. But since this is a sectional oven, where it's made to be taken apart and rebuilt together with mud between them, then the question was, what happens if it becomes impure and you take it apart and you build it back together? According to Rabbi Eliezer, once you take it apart, the tumah, the contamination, leaves it and it becomes pure. But the rabbis learned that since it is mostly the original oven, even though it was taken apart, nonetheless, it still remains tumah, still remains impure. And Rabbi Eliezer brings many supernatural proofs to his point. He brings a proof that the river should run backwards, that the tree should be uprooted, and that the walls of the Beis Medrash should close down. And the rabbi said that you can bring proof from supernatural sources. Then Rabbi Lezer asks that a heavenly voice should proclaim who is right, and a heavenly voice proclaims that Rabbi Lezer is right. Rabbi Yeshua gets up on his feet and says, Torah Eloi b'shamayim, meaning that once you gave Torah to men, then the Torah belongs here, and you say that we have to follow majority, and we can't rely on heavenly voices. Therefore, the rabbis hold still that the oven is contaminated, and Rabbi Lezer, since he knew that he was right, could not agree with the rabbis, and maintained that the oven is Torah pure. And since Rabbi Lezer would not agree with the rabbis, Rabbi Gamliel, which is Rabbi Lezer's brother-in-law, and the Beis Din decided to excommunicate Rabbi Lezer. So the act of excommunication means that he has to be in isolation and nobody could learn from him. So Sefer Galant explains that Rabbi Elezer was put in excommunication, which is isolation, because Reuven threw Yosef into the pit. According to this, the Sefer Degel Machner Reuven explains that this is the meaning of the verse. Meaning, when Reuven came back and saw that Yosef is not in the pit, he says, Yeled Einenu, the boy is not here. Vani and I, Ono Aniba, where can I go? The words Ono, Sefer Degel Machner Freim explains, are the initials He Nishmas Eliezer. The He is the He, the Nun is the Nishmas, and the Aleph is Eliezer, which means that this is the soul of Eliezer. Meaning that Reuven now was bemoaning that since Ayeled Einenu, since the boy is not here, Yosef is not here, that means that I became guilty of throwing Yosef to the pit. Now, He Nishmas Eliezer, where is the Shama of Eliezer going to be? Meaning, I caused Eliezer, my descendant, to be in isolation because of the Chasam Sofer, in one of his answers, explains that since Reuven is the one that came up with the idea of throwing Yosef into the pit, true that Reuven intended to save him, but since Reuven knew that the brothers still want to kill Yosef, Reuven thought that he should go quickly and throw Yosef into the pit. Therefore, Reuven appeared to work harder in throwing Yosef into the pit, and since Yosef saw how Reuven was determined to throw into the pit, and Yosef did not know Reuven's intention that it was to save him, then Yosef may think that Reuven is the one that wants to kill him, that wants to get rid of him. Therefore, when Reuven sees that Yosef is not there, Reuven thinks that Yosef escaped. Therefore, Reuven says, Ayeled Einenu, the boy is not here. Now what am I going to do? Yosef is going to quickly tell our father Yaakov what I did. And what am I going to do? What am I going to answer to our father Yaakov? So according to the Chasam Sofer, Ono Aniva means, how am I going to come now to our father Yaakov? He's going to accuse me and I'm not going to have what to answer him. There's an interesting Medrash Peliyah, which is a perplexing Medrash in the Medrash Rabbah, where the Medrash Rabbah says that when Reuven said, Hayeled Einenu, the boy is not here, Vani and I, Ono Aniba, where am I going? He means to say, Ono Aniba, Bemasa Bila, where am I going? By the action of Bila. Meaning, we mentioned previously from Rashi's second interpretation that Reuven wasn't at the sale because he was busy in fasting for what he did when he moved his father's bed from Bila's tent to Leah's tent in last week's Parsha. And here, according to the Medrash Rabbah, Reuven is saying that now that Yosef is not here, what am I going to do for the action I did with Bila? And all the Meforshim want to know what is the connection between Yosef not being there and Reuven's action with Bila. The Imre Shafer gives a very simple answer, and his answer, in a way, answers a question that bothered me in regards to Rashi's second answer. According to Rashi's second answer, Reuven was not present at the sale because Reuven was busy repenting on what he did in regards to Bila. The question is that what he did in regards to Bila happened 9 years before this story. Because in Vayetze chapter 30, verse number 25, the verse says, Vayikash Yod L'Rachel Es Yosef, that as soon as Rachel gave birth to Yosef, Yaakov tells Lavan, send me home so I should go home. Then Lavan negotiates with Yaakov a salary, and Yaakov stays there another 6 years. As the verse writes down in the end of the Parsha, in chapter 31, verse number 41, Zeli Esrim Shana Beveisecho, I'm 20 years in your house, 14 years I worked for your two daughters, and 6 years I worked for your sheep. Which means that right after Yosef was born and they negotiated for the sheep, started the 6 years. And then we have Yaakov's encounter with Esav, and then we have on chapter 33, verse number 17, that after his encounter with Esav, he went to Sukkot, and there Rashi writes down that he was there for a year and a half. That means that Yosef is now 7.5 years after we finished Sukkot. And right afterwards, we have the story of Rachel giving birth to Binyamin and Rachel dying. And after that, Reuven moves the bed. That means that Reuven moved the bed of Yaakov when Yosef was approximately 7.5 to 8 years old. And now it's listed that Yosef is 17 years old. That means that at least 9 years has passed since Reuven moved his father's bed. And I always thought that it is very hard to say that every moment that Reuven has, he is doing tshuva, he is repenting. Meaning that he is not present at the sale of Yosef, because as soon as he threw Yosef into the pit, he went to repent. But always I figured that there must have been something that triggered that Reuven should do tshuva anew, that he should do tshuva again after he threw Yosef in the pit. And according to the Imre Schaefer, we have a very simple answer to this question. Because the Imre Schaefer explains that Reuven, when he saw that the brothers want to kill him, and he plotted to save Yosef and bring Yosef back to his father, he thought that when his father sees what Reuven did, that his father is going to be so grateful to him, that his father is going to forgive him for the action that he did by the story of Bilhah. Therefore, Reuven now, when he sees that Yosef is not here, he says, wow, what am I going to do now with the story that I did with Bilhah? Meaning now my father won't have a reason to forgive me. Therefore, since Reuven's intention originally was to bring Yosef back because he wanted also that his father should forgive him for what he did with Bilhah, therefore Reuven was reminded of what he did with Bilhah. Therefore, Reuven went to repent on the actions that he did with Bilhah. As a side note, I was asked that since it seems that Reuven did tshuva in such a great way, as a matter of fact, the Medrash brings down that Reuven ato potachto b'tshuva tchila, you are the one who started doing tshuva first, and Hashem gives him a reward for repenting, then obviously Reuven repented in a perfect way, then why wasn't Reuven's tshuva accepted? And I answered that it could be that since Reuven never asked his father for forgiveness, meaning, yes, he repented between him and Hashem, but since he hurt his father by moving his father's bed, he caused shame to his father, therefore Reuven should have asked his father for forgiveness, because Averes ben Adam l'chaveroi, sins that you do between man and man, you are not forgiven until you ask forgiveness from your friend. And here Reuven never asks forgiveness from his father, therefore his father never forgave him. Therefore we find Yaakov Avinu rebuking Reuven at the end of his life. The Chazam Sofer in a beautiful way says that both answers of Rashi are the same answer. Meaning that according to the first answer of Rashi, Reuven wasn't present because there was a rotation between brothers who is going to serve their father, meaning each brother served the father one day, and this was Reuven's day, therefore he wasn't present at the sale. And according to Rashi's second answer, Reuven was busy with his cycle of fasting for moving his father's bed. Then the Chasam Sofer explains that the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes of the Jewish people, are equivalent to the 12 Tzirufe Shemes, 12 variations of the name Havaya, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, meaning that there are 12 variations to write the name of Hashem. Name of Hashem normally is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but you could also write Yud-Hei-Hei-Vav, You could also write Yud Vav Hey Hey. There are 12 ways to scramble these words and make the name of Hashem. And the 12 tribes were equivalent to these 12 variations of making the name of Hashem. As a matter of fact, on Rosh Chodesh, before we say the bracha, Baruch Atu Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, Verosh Echadoshim, blesses Hashem who sanctifies Israel, and Rosh Chodesh, there are Sidurim that bring down all the variations of the name of Hashem equivalent to each month. Meaning each month is equivalent to one variation of Hashem. For example, Nisan is Yud Kei Vav Kei, but Iyar is Yud Hei Hei Vav. And for example, Kislev is Vav Yud Hei Hei. So all these variations are written in the Sidurim in regards to Rosh Chodesh before we say the Bracha Mekadesh Yisrael V'Rosh Chodeshim. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu had 12 children, which 12 children are equivalent to the 12 Tzirufe Shemes, to the 12 names that you could make the name of Hashem Yudke Vavke. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that Reuven thought that since Yaakov Avinu already has 12 children, there is no need for Yaakov Avinu to have another child. Therefore, Reuven moved his father's bed. But Yaakov Avinu still wanted to have another child, because Yaakov Avinu wanted to have a child to serve him when he becomes older, because Yaakov did not want to use one of the Shvatim, one of his children, that is equivalent to the Tziruf HaShemes of the name of Hashem. Therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, since Reuven caused that another child should not be born, now that Yaakov Avinu is older, they have to make a rotation to serve Yaakov. And therefore, whenever it came the time for Reuven to serve, Reuven thought what he did, that he prevented his father from having another child, and Reuven went to repent. Meaning, both answers of Rashi are the same, because since it was the rotation of Reuven, therefore Reuven went to do his sackcloth. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says that even though Reuven is repenting for not letting Yaakov Avinu have another child by moving his father's bed, nonetheless, Reuven still feels that since there is still 12 children, his sin is not so great, because at least the Tziruf HaShemes, the tribes that are supposed to be the name of Hashem, are here. But now that Reuven sees that Yosef is not here, Reuven thinks Yosef is killed, because Reuven knows that the brothers wanted to kill Yosef. Therefore Reuven says, Hayered enenu, the boy is not here, Vani and I, Ono Aniba, what am I going to do now, the story of Bila? Now it's literally missing one of the Shemes, one of the names of Hashem, because Reuven thinks that Yosef is dead. Now his sin of moving his father's bed is much greater, meaning that since Reuven now prevented Yaakov from having another child, Reuven prevented the name of Hashem to be complete, because since there is only 11 children now, and there is 12 variations of the name of Hashem, then it's missing one child to be equivalent of the name of Hashem to make Hashem's name complete. Therefore, Reuven says, the boy is not here, meaning Yosef is not here. Now, what am I going to do for my sin with Bila? Now, my sin is huge, because now I prevented Hashem's name to be complete. Until now, I felt bad that Yaakov Avinu felt bad that he has to use one of the Shvatim, which are equivalent to Hashem's name, for to service him. But I felt that my sin is not so great, because at least there are 12 children, which are equivalent to the 12 variations of the name of Hashem. But now that Yosef is missing, now it's missing one of variations of the name of Hashem completely. So what am I going to do now? Where am I going to come? Rabbi Yekusiel Yehuda Greenwald interprets it in the following way. He says that there is always two components whenever a person does an action. There's a component of machshava, of thought, and a component of maase, of action. And normally, when a person does a bad action, he has in mind to do a bad action, and he actually does a bad action, then he is punished. But Reuven thought that when it's lacking one of the components, for example, when the machshava is proper, but the action is bad, that Hashem will follow the machshava, will follow what the person is thinking. Therefore, Reuven thought that since when he moved his father's bed, he did it because he took his mother's honor, as we explained previously, that Reuven moved his father's bed because Reuven felt that while Rachel was alive, Rachel was the mother's rival, meaning the mother's sister was a rival. But now that Rachel is dead, the maid of the mother's sister, who should be the rival of his mother, meaning Bila, which was the maiden of Rachel, should become the rival of Leah. Therefore, Reuven went and moved Yaakov's bed from the tent of Bila to the tent of Leah. That means that Reuven's thought was proper because he was doing the mitzvah of Kibudem, but yet his actions were wrong. So therefore, Reuven thought that it is not so punishable when you have a bad action and you have a good thought. But from what happened to Yosef, Reuven saw the opposite. Because Yosef also wanted that his brother should behave properly, meaning his thought was proper, but yet he spoke Lashon Hara, derogatory remarks on his brothers, meaning even though his intentions were proper, but the Torah clearly testifies that he brought Dibasom Roel Aviyam, that he spoke Lashon Hara, derogatory remarks on his brothers. And yet Reuven saw that Yosef was punished, therefore Reuven realized that Hashem punishes even if you have good thoughts, because Hashem follows the action, and if your actions are bad, then Hashem punishes. Therefore, says Rabbi Kusiri the Greenwald, Reuven says, Hayelo denenu, Yosef the boy is not here, meaning since he's not here, even though he had proper intentions when he told our father Lashon Hara about us, it seems that we only follow the action. If that is so, what am I going to do now on my action when I move the bed of my father by Bila? Because there also I had proper intentions, but my actions were bad. So if Yosef was punished, then for sure I am going to be punished. Sefer Zichron Yisrael quotes an answer of the Prime Godem, which is based on the Medrash Rabbe, Parsha Peidalet, Simen Tezvav. The verse says that after the brothers wanted to kill Yosef, it's written there on verse number 21, Vayishma Reuven, Reuven heard, Vayatzileu miyadom, and saved them from their hands. Meaning that Reuven gave the advice that they should be thrown in the pit and not be killed. And the Medrash is bothered by the term of the Torah, Vayishma Reuven, that Reuven had heard. Normally, Vayishma is used when you hear something from somebody else or for something that happened in a different place. Then you write down the word Vayishma and he heard. When you're having a conversation with somebody, when I'm talking to you, then it's not proper to write down Vayishma that he heard. And here, normally we assume that Reuven is present and Reuven is having a conversation with his brothers. Then what is the meaning of the word Vayishma Reuven that Reuven had heard? And the Medrash gives many different interpretations. But in one of the interpretations the Medrash brings in the name of the Rabbanon, that Omar Reuven says, he's counting me as a brother and I am not going to save him. The Medrash continues and says, I thought that after the sin that I made by Bila, that I would be pushed out because of that. But since I see in his dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars are bowing down to him, is counting me amongst my brothers, then I know that I am forgiven for that sin, that I'm still worthy to be a brother. Therefore, Reuven went and saved Yosef, meaning that Reuven saw that Yosef is counting him as a brother. That showed Reuven that he is going to be forgiven and he is going to be considered a brother to Yosef. That awakened in Reuven brotherly love. Reuven decided to save Yosef, because Reuven thought that Yosef's dreams are prophetic. According to this, the Prime Godem says that this is what happened. Now Reuven thinks that Yosef is dead. If Yosef is dead, that means retroactively his dreams are not true. If his dreams are not true, then Reuven has no proof that he's going to be forgiven for sin that he made for moving his father's bed from the tent of Bila. Therefore Reuven says, Hayeled enenu, the boy is not here. Vani ananibo, and now where am I going to go? Meaning, since Yosef is dead, that means his dreams were not prophetic. if his dreams are not prophetic, then maybe I'm still an outcast and not considered a brother. Then what am I going to do about the sin that I made by moving my father's bed from the tent of Bila? The Panim Yafes asks, why is it written here, Hayeled Einenu? The boy is not here. Yosef is already 17 years old. Why is he calling Yosef Hayeled, the boy? Therefore, the Panim Yafes is going to answer this question, and he's also going to answer our question, and he's also going to answer the question of the Or HaChaim HaKodesh. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks, it's written in the verse 21, Vayishma Reuven, Reuven heard, Vayatzileu miyodom, and he saved Yosef from their hand. Meaning that the brothers want to kill Yosef outright, but Reuven heard that, and Reuven decided to tell the brothers, don't kill him outright, throw him into the pit. But yet, the verse writes down in verse 24, Vabor reik embomaim, that the pit is empty, there is no water. And Rashi asks, clearly, if the pit is empty, I know that there is no water. So Rashi brings down from the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Chav Beis Omed Aleph, 22a, that embomaim, that only water there isn't in the pit, but snakes and scorpions are in the pit. Meaning that Reuven tells the brothers, don't kill him, just throw him into the pit of scorpions. Then the Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks, how can you call that saving? If you fall in a pit of snakes, automatically you are going to die. Then how is that called that Reuven saved Yosef? Therefore, the Or HaChaim HaKodesh brings an interesting interpretation. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh says, a human being, because he has free choice, could kill somebody that wasn't decreed in heaven to be killed, but an animal could not kill somebody unless it was decreed in heaven that he should die. Therefore, Reuven decided to take away Yosef from Bale Bechira, from people who have free will, and decided to throw Yosef to the snakes and scorpions, who won't kill unless Hashem tells them to kill. The Panim Yafes gives a different answer to this question. The Panim Yafes explains that there's a difference between Beis Din Shalmato, between the court down here, and Beis Din Shalmalo and the court in heaven. Meaning that the court down here punishes a person when the person becomes an adult, and an adult down here is considered when the person is 13 years old or when he has two saroys, two hairs. But in heaven, Hashem only punishes a person after the age of 20. And we learn that either from the Meraglim, because the spies were not punished until the age of 20, meaning they were punished from 20 up. And Rashi clearly brings this idea down in Parshas Korach, chapter 16, verse number 27, where there Hashem punished even Tapam, even the small children. And Rashi brings down that look how powerful is the machlokas, is the fights between Jews, that the Beis Din Shalmato, that here the court does not punish until a person brings shtei saros, two hairs. In Beis Din Shalmalo, in the heavenly court, does not punish until the age of 20. And here, because of machlokas, Hashem punishes small children. Nonetheless, we see that the heavenly court does not punish until a person is 20 years old. According to this, the Panim Yafes explains that Reuven also held that Yosef is guilty. There wasn't argument between the brothers if Yosef is guilty or not. But Reuven thought that Yosef should not be punished by a court of his brothers, which is a manly court, because then, since Yosef was 17 years old, Yosef would be put to death, because the manly court punishes after the age of 13. Therefore, Reuven decided that he's going to throw Yosef into a pit full of snakes. And as the Or HaChaim explains, that the snakes will only kill somebody that Hashem decreed for him to be killed. And since Yosef was 17 years old, that means that even if Yosef committed a crime, he still should not be punished, because the heavenly court does not punish until the age of 20. Therefore, Reuven thought that Yosef is going to be saved. Even though Reuven held that Yosef is guilty, nonetheless, Yosef is going to be saved. The Panim Yafes continues and says that if you calculate the age of Reuven at the time he moved his father's bed, you'll find out that Reuven was not older than 15 years old. And he explains in the following way. since Yaakov Avinu was only away for 22 years, because we know that Yaakov Avinu was punished that he didn't see Yosef for 22 years because he did not honor his father Yitzchak for 22 years. That means that since the time that Yaakov Avinu left until he came back, there were 22 years. And we also know that in the last year, Rachel died. That means that in the last year, Reuven moved his father's bed. And since we also know that in the first 7 years, Yaakov Avinu did not have any children, because Yaakov Avinu worked for 7 years for Rachel. And then, after 7 years, Lavan switched Rachel to Leah. That means that only after 7 years, Yaakov Avinu had relations with Leah. And even if we say, according to the opinion, that Reuven was conceived from that first night, still Reuven could not be any older than 15 years old, because 22 minus 7 is 15. Therefore, Reuven thought that since the heavenly court does not punish until the age of 20, that Reuven is safe from punishment. But now that Reuven sees that Hayelet Einenu, that the boy is not here, and is specifically calling him boy, because in regards to be punished by the heavenly court, Yosef at the age of 17 is still considered a boy, a minor. Therefore, Reuven says, what can I do now? Hayelet Einenu, the boy is not here, that means that he was killed. And if he was killed, that means that the heavenly court punished him, even though he is a minor. Then Ani and me, meaning by my sin of Bila, Ono Ani Ba, what am I going to do? Now that I see Hashem punishes, even though Yosef is 17 years old, then clearly Hashem could also punish me when I moved my father's bed when I was 15. Therefore, Reuven is worried now, meaning that since Reuven sees that Yosef is being punished even though he's 17, below the age of 20, then Reuven is now worried about his own sin, the sin he made with Bila, that he could also be punished even though he's under the age of 20 at the age of 15. The Berach Moshe answers this question based on the Maharsha in Makkes Daf Yud Omed Beis. There the Gemara brings down that Bederech She'Adam Roitze Leilech, in the way a person wants to go, Moilichin Oisoi, they take him there. The Maharsha says that it's not written that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moilich Oisoi, that Hashem takes him there. It is written in the plural that they take him there. And he asks, who are they? Who is the plural? Therefore, the Maharsha explains that every time a person has a thought, a speech, or an action, he creates an angel. And that angel could be a good angel if he has the thought, the speech, and the action for a mitzvah, or it could be a bad angel if he has the thought, the speech, and the action for a sin. And that is the meaning of the pasuk, that Bederech She'Adam Roitze Leilech, the way that a person wants to go, meaning he has the thought to go, automatically he creates an angel, and they, the angels, Molichin Oisei, will take him there. Meaning that if he's going for the good, the angels will take him for the good, and if he's going for the bad, the angels will take him for the bad. Then the Berach Moshe brings the Divra Yoel, that the Divra Yoel brings the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra, Parsha Chof Aleph, Siman Hey, where there the Medrash Rabbah is analyzing what is written in Mishle, chapter 24, verse number 6, Ki besachbulois tase lecha milchama, that through wise strategies you can wage a war. And the Medrash Rabbah explains, in the name of Rav Simon, that this war that they're talking about is the war between your evil inclination and your good inclination. And he says that imosiso chavilois shalaveirois, that if you made bundles of sins, and because of these bundles of sins you created bad angels, asay kenegdom chavilois shomitzos, you should make to counteract them bundles of mitzvahs. Because by you making bundles of mitzvahs, you are going to create good angels, and they are going to fight those bad angels that you have created previously. And that is the meaning of the verse, that betachbulois, through wise strategies, tasa loy milchoma, you'll make a war for your benefit, which means that you are going to win the war. And the war they are talking about is the war within you between your good inclination and your evil inclination, that even though you have sinned, you should not despair. You still could rectify it by making a lot of mitzvahs and making angels to stand against the angels you made through your sins. And the Divrei Yoel explains with this the verse in Bereishis chapter 48, verse number 16, which says, Hamalach HaGoyel Oisi Mikoro, may the angel who redeemed me from all evil. And he explains that what Malach is that? That is the Malach that was created by the mitzvahs that Yaakov Avinu did. And that Malach protects you from all sins which are called Ra. So because you have more mitzvahs, you are able to counteract the Ra, the evilness, the evil inclination that you have inside because you have more angels. According to this, the Berach Moshe explains that because Reuven sinned, and Reuven believed that he made a huge sin, and Reuven's sin was a sin of action, that he moved his father's bed, then Reuven held that he created a bad angel. Therefore, Reuven was looking forward to saving Yosef, to do the action of saving Yosef, in order to create a good angel, in order to counteract that angel that was created for the action of Bila. And that is why Reuven was trying to save Yosef. But now that Reuven sees that Hayelet Einenu, that the boy is not there, that Yosef is not there, that means that Reuven can't actually make the action of saving Yosef. That means that he can't create an angel in such a level as his sin, because Reuven's sin was a sin of action. Therefore, Reuven said, Hayelet Einenu, Yosef is not here. Now I can't create a good angel to counteract my bad angel that was created from the action of Bila. Then Vani Ananiba, where am I going now? Meaning, now I have that bad angel, and in the way that bad angel is, that is where it's going to take me, because Bederech She'odom Roitze Leilech, where a person wants to go, there the angel will take him. Then where am I going now? Meaning, I am going to be in trouble because now I don't have a good angel to counteract that bad angel that was created from the action of Bila. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should all make good actions to counteract our bad actions. Then we'll be able to win the battle of our evil inclination. We'll serve Hashem completely. We'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuilt. B'mheira b'yomeinu. Amen.